First Corinthians chapter 4. And chapter 4 gives us an account of the apostles' work of diffusing, of correcting the division that is in the church of Corinth. As you know, in the first chapter, it was reported to him that there were divisions in the church. And so, in this chapter, chapter 4, Paul begins by identifying that ministers of the gospel, those whom God has appointed and called into the ministry to preach and teach God's word, they are stewards, and that that it is wrong, as we see in verse 6, he warns the Christian in Corinth not to think of man or even to think of the ministers as above, not to venerate them, for they are sinful men, redeemed by the grace of God, appointed as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here he calls on the church to renounce and or to repudiate pride, since all these things comes from God, all these things that we receive from God's hand. Paul earlier on in chapter 3 verses 21 to 23 says, "Let no man glory in man, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the whole or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." So as Christian believers, we do not belong to any particular minister or pastors. You must not put yourselves down as followers of any of this man, even though they may be appointed by God to be your shepherd, to watch over your soul, but we are not to venerate them. We are not to look upon them as special in the sense that they are of a different class. And here you see that the Apostle Paul is taking on this issue that is in the church, that there are people in the church of Corinth, and it is also evidence in our present day churches, that there are two extreme group of people. There are those who will venerate and sort of idol worship the pastor or the minister or the leader, and there are those who were despised and looked down on the ministers. So either of this extreme are wrong. And therefore, here Paul gives the instruction by way of presenting to them that as the ministers of Christ, they are actually stewards. And there are requirements of stewards. They are to be found faithful. Here, hence it is very important that we should judge or consider the minister or the pastor correctly, so that while they do not rely upon us in any wrong sense, they may at the same time feel an affectionate sympathy with us and constantly bear them up in prayer before the throne of grace. And so, for those of us, for those members of the body of Christ, consider and regard the servants of God, or rather the ministers and the pastors, that they are called of God, appointed of God, to watch over your soul, to be under shepherd to you, and they need your prayer. Then they need your prayer, which is far more important than looking up to them or idolize them. Paul goes on in the passage to tell us that we ought to regard or consider the ministers of Christ. The word them, ministers, actually should be servants of Christ. God's minister, if they should act as one, are under the authority of Christ. They are no special people of a upper class. They are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ under the direct authority of their master, the Lord Jesus. Therefore, fellow Christians are to regard or to consider the minister or the pastor as a servant, not as masters, not as some great lord. Ministers are simply to be shepherds or under shepherds of the sheep, and shepherd ought to be not to be lord over God's heritage, as the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:3. And so it goes also not only to the ministers, but also to the leaders of the church, whatever position of leadership that you hold in the church, whether as Sunday school teachers, as elders and deacons, or as the pastor or minister. Remember that we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ is our master. He is the servant of all the sheep, and though he leads them, though the minister leads the sheep, it is by going first to be in the front, taking all the brunt of all that attack that may come into the church. The pastor or the minister must be the first one stand in front to take on and to handle all this spiritual attack that will come upon the sheep, and to feed the sheep and to instruct them in the way of the Lord. Therefore, let every Christian consider the ministers as servants, but not merely just as servants to the church or to the people of God, certainly not as servants to man, but as servants of Christ. Consider them as servants of Christ, whom God has appointed to watch over you, to provide that spiritual care over your soul. That is the honor as ministers. They serve the Lord Jesus Christ, their master. The responsibility of the ministers weigh down the honor attached to it, and so they are required to be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus, their master. Notice Paul says this. It is required in verse 2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Although the text no doubt refers firstly to the ministers who preach the gospel and teach the gospel or the word of God, to whom it is appointed, or to whom it is a God's appointed a position, yet all the people of God, every Christian believer, you are actually, like the ministers, stewards of the manifold grace of God. You are accountable, responsible for every spiritual gift or every talent that the Lord has bestowed upon you or given to you, just as the ministers are. And so every Christian believers are stewards, and each child of God, in his own way or her own way, in his own place or her own place, should reckon that whatever gift he or she has should be used for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his glory, for the advancement of God's kingdom. So he is made one of the Lord's stewards, and that it is required of stewards, whether be it the minister or be you as a Christian or a believer, you are to be found faithful. And I may even add, not just to the believers, even to the unconverted, even to the unbelievers, that they have this stewardship to fulfill. They may not be conscious of it or know it, but as God's creature, God who created man, so therefore man is bound to be God's servant, And at the last great day, every man, believer or non-believer, will have to give an account of every opportunity and every capacity for service which the Lord has given to us, to every one of us or each one of us. And woe to him, woe to her, if he or she be found an unfaithful steward in the day of the Lord's reckoning. Let us now inquire further into this text to glean some lessons for our spiritual nourishment or edification, that we may learn to exercise as Christian believers, as ministers of the gospel, faithful stewardship. So we begin with the first point, and we begin with a question. In what sense are we stewards? In what sense are we stewards? Well, God's ministers, as we see here in verse 1, are stewards, and they are appointed to look after other servants. They are like in a supervisory position, so to speak. If you are in such a position, in a supervisory position, such as a steward, you have not only your own work to do, but it is also part of your responsibility to look after or to supervise the work of other people. There are some who are very foolish, and perhaps this may be due to and this particularly happened or fall upon the younger ones. There are those in our days of youth, we are very much taken by this thought that they look only at the honor of the position, and being young and filled with pride, when they are put at the early age at such honorable position or position of authority, they fail to realize the responsibility. They look more to the honor of the position rather than look at the responsibility of that position of stewardship. And it is by no means a position which any man or anyone understand it might desire for himself or herself. The real steward is one who has been appointed to that position. And if he is not appointed, then he has no right to be a steward at all. It is a calling, it is a appointment by the Lord Jesus. It is the great master of the house who calls or who appoints this one or that person to look after other servants. And it is from this calling that he has the right to interfere in any respect with those under his care. Next, notice that the servants of God are stewards because they are under the master's direct command. The stewards take no order or instruction from anybody but the master, the Lord Jesus. Therefore, the minister must often keep himself or keep up his daily fellowship and communion with his master, the Lord Jesus, that he may know the mind or the will of the master, so that he can do the will and fulfill the commandments of the master. And so that from then, when he commune and communicate with God, then he understands and knows the will of God, and from there he will communicate and bring this message to his fellow servants or fellow stewards. Our Lord Jesus, the greatest of all stewards, is the perfect example for us to follow. How often Jesus says this: "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. John 14 verse 10. Jesus was always referring those who were his brethren back to the Grand Master, the Great Master, the head of the church. And he did not speak without his Father's authority. And so it is not for us, the ministers, or even for those in whatever position of leadership, whether as Bible study leaders or Sunday school teachers or as ministers. It is not for us to deliver our own message, our own speculations, but to go straight to the Word of God and by the teaching of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come forth then as we study, as we meditate upon God's Word, as God reveals it to us, to the ministers, to the preachers, to the Bible study leaders or Sunday school teachers, then that person is to bring that word forth and tell others in God's community the message of God. To come forth to the people with what they have received of the Lord and not what we think or invented. Those of us who are in the ministry, those of us who have the responsibility of teaching God's word, you shall find no power in doing such a work unless you keep on doing it as receiving your mission and your commission from the great Lord of all. The Scottish minister by the name of Robert Murray M'Cheyne says this: it is God's word that saves, not our comment on God's word. I repeat, it is God's word that saves, not our comment on God's word. And this is so true. And very often, pride blinded us over this fact. And often, we hear of people who were bold when someone comes to know Jesus as their Savior, and they will say, "Oh, it is me. I spoke to this person. I convinced this person. I persuaded this person. Now you see that this person comes to know Jesus and receive Jesus." Oh no, it is not you. You are only the mouthpiece, the person who came to know the Jesus. It is through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. It is God at the back of the steward who blesses all in the household. But when the steward does not go to the master, when the steward does not spend time in the Word of God, and does not get his instruction or command from the Lord, or orders from the Lord, he soon puts everything into confusion. He loses his own standing, and he is inclined to do desperate mischief to all those who are around him, or all those who are under his ministry or under his care. Further, a steward is a man who is put in trust with the master's goods. And this is the main point of his stewardship. Nothing of his own. He is actually managing what was entrusted to him, not what belongs to him. He is entrusted with the master's goods, and it is all his master's. It is a blessed thing that when you and I have nothing to do of our own, when you and I as Christian believers do not live for ourselves, but we live for Christ and for his glory. And this is a very blessed liberty. The true steward is put in trust with his master's property, first to protect it. The steward who watches or manages the master's property, his first role is to protect it, to defend it. For us, whether as minister or believers, how we ought to
how we ought to, and with earnestness, to guard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is particularly so, as I said, not only to the ministers, but to anyone who handles the word of God. Handles in the sense that you teach, as a teacher, you teach the word of God. As a Bible study leader, you teach the word of God. You guide your Bible study members in the word of God. And this is very important for those in such a position. You are to guard the gospel of Christ. Not in your own strength, but in the might of the Holy Spirit. We are to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints, as Jude commands us. Hold fast the form of sound words. That's what Paul told the young pastor Timothy. Hold fast the form of sound words. Not only the words, but the particular form of them, which the apostle had delivered. Not merely sound doctrine, but the very word of God in which those doctrines have been made to take shape. The true steward is to defend the master's treasure with his very life. The Lord has put us in trust with the gospel and with the people under our care. And it is God's inheritance. And so, we are only trustees of what belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. And so, it is become of trustees that this precious doctrine that we hold to, that we teach, must be firmly defended when it comes under attack. And so we are to defend our master's property. And next, we are to dispense it. Besides protecting it, we are to dispense it. We are to spread it. Use it. It is the steward who provides for the table of the household, of the family. He never forgets when the table is spread. He is to put the bread and the salt of it. The bread is Christ himself, on which we feed, spiritually speaking, of course. And then the salt is the grace. The true steward does not starve the children, but he sees that each one is fed with convenient or suitable food. The minister, the one who teaches the word of God, must endeavor, ought to, get himself into the serious study of the Word of God and to provide sufficient balanced diet to those under his care. And so these are the two parts of the steward's business: to protect the master's property, that is to defend the gospel, and to dispense it, to share it, to teach it, to spread it. Our second inquiry is this. How are stewards to conduct themselves? How are we to carry ourselves as ministers, as pastors, as Bible study leaders, or leaders in whatever? And even as believers, how are we to carry ourselves? Because as believers, as I said just now, we are also stewards. We are also accountable to God for the various gifts that God has given to us, or bestowed upon us. Our text supplies us the answer. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Note that the apostle did not or does not say, it is required in stewards that a man be found brilliant. No minister, no one, Christian believers, no Bible study leaders, no Sunday school teachers will be blamed if he does not prove to be a brilliant Sunday school teacher, a brilliant pastor. No one will blame you for that, and God will not hold you accountable for that, for being brilliant. Not even if he should not be successful in seeing conversion. ministers and those who handle the gospel, we shall not be condemned even if the seed of the gospel does not spring up, provided that we sow it in the first place. We must certainly make the attempt to sow the seed of the gospel at whatever opportunity granted to us. We must sow it. But we are not responsible for the conversion of the soul. But we are responsible whether we did sow that gospel seed when the opportunity avails to us. So it is not your brilliance that God is looking for. You are responsible not for the result of what you do, but you are responsible for whether you are doing it honestly, sincerely, zealously, devotedly, prayerfully, expectingly. I do not think if any one of us fulfills such a responsibility, in such a way, I do not think you will be unsuccessful. Certainly not as God judges success. Still, the point here from the Apostle Paul is this, that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so we follow up with a next question to help us to understand this teaching. What then should each one of us be with regard to faithfulness? Whether as pastors, ministers, whether as Christian believers, whether as Sunday school teachers or whatever, Bible study leaders, what then should each one of us be with regard to faithfulness? First, faithful to your Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful to your Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, let us not be traitor to our Lord. Let us not be apparently doing this work, yet actually we are not doing it. Our heart, our mind, our whole being is not in it. Let us not be preaching or teaching without prayer. Let us not be talking about doing good without always trusting in Christ, without whom nothing can be good or nothing can be strong or right. If we have dealt truly with our Master, the Lord Jesus, if we can feel that we are sincerely seeking, and the Lord knows our hearts, not for our own glory, we are seeking for Christ's glory, if we are sincere about that, and not working for ourselves or for vain glory or for man, but for the Lord alone, if we are doing that for the Lord alone, for His glory, for His name's sake, then it is well with us. It is well with us. We are on good ground. Next, we must each one, beside faithful to the Lord Jesus, our Master, be faithful to our office, whatever that office may be. As I said, minister, pastor, Sunday school teachers, whatever. Even as administrator or treasurer of the church or whatever role that you are in, you are to be faithful to your office. If you as stewards of Christ are called to be minister, then be faithful to your ministry. If you are called or given or blessed with wealth and you are to give it away, give it cheerfully and be faithful in your office. For Christ's sake and for the sake of His great grace, do what you have to do with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Make full proof of your ministry, whatever that ministry may be. And this, I would add, include those of us who are in secular employment. You are, and it is in Scripture that we are told what? Not to do as man pleases. Oh, I want to please my boss. Make sure, you know, he or she take notice of my hard work.
and then I will get promotion and all that. No, you do it as unto the Lord, because the Lord is watching and you are accountable to God, even in your office. And for those of you who are not working as students, you are also accountable to God for your effort in your study. That is your appointment at that point of your life, at that point of your age. As a student, you are to put in your heart and soul to study hard, not to please your parents, so that while you can boast that you can score A's and you are such a brilliant student, so such a smart child. No, you do it and you study hard, and the Lord bless you with good results and give you wisdom and health to get good results for His glory, not for yourself, not just to please your parents so that He can be very happy with you and buy you all your good gifts, your iPhone and whatever. Stop that. It is, you are also responsible. So it is across the board. We are to be faithful, not just in the church, in our church ministry, but you are to be faithful in your life outside of the church, whether as a student, whether as an employee, or even whether as an employer yourself. You are to be faithful to your office. Next, we are to be faithful to every person in the household of faith, meaning to say, faithful to fellow believers in Christ. All of us, according as we are put into stewardship, we must work, we must labor for the good or the benefit of our brethren, of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us try then to do all that we ought to do in love and kindness to all, to each one who are of the same household of faith. Let us do that. Start here in our church, that we, whatever we do, we are thoughtful and we are particular to the welfare of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So faithfulness to the Lord, faithfulness to our office, faithfulness to fellow believers in Christ. Now finally, we ask another question. What will be the outcome of our stewardship? Is there an outcome? Yes. And the outcome is this. Suppose, by the grace and mercy of the Lord, by the help of God, the Holy Spirit, we are found to be good and faithful stewards, faithful servants of the Lord, what would be our result? It will be a reward for us. A reward from our own master's lips in the day of accounting, when we stand before God. Will He say to us, well done, good and faithful servant? And this is the commendation of our master. And if we do receive such a commendation, it is good enough reward. It is good enough reward for any one of us in any role or position of stewardship. But suppose, at the last, we are found to be unfaithful. We are found to be unfaithful. What will then be the result? It will be a negative result. The negative result is, I'm referring to punishment from the Lord's own hand. If it be so, that our hearts, in the first place, we have not been renewed by grace. We are not born of the Spirit. We have not been saved from our sins, and consequently, we have not been saved from our unfaithfulness. If it should turn out to be that way, that you are, in the first place, not a believer, and that you have never been saved, to live an honest and faithful life to God, to the glory of God, what shall be the result of such a person who are outside of the kingdom of God? Not to mention about faithfulness anymore. Not to mention that your role as a steward, because in the first place, you are not one. Why? Because in the first place, you are not a born-again believer. And so the Lord's words to such a person is this. I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 12. Please turn your Bible to Luke chapter 12 and verse 46. Luke chapter 12 verse 46. And I read to you. Luke chapter 12 verse 46.
the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. That means he is not expecting the return of the Lord Jesus. And at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him sunder, and will appoint him, that means reward him, his portion with the unbelievers. And so, take heed of this warning. God grant that none of us may ever be in such a position. May the Lord have mercy upon us to save us. Now that you still have the opportunity, now that God has given you the chance to hear the gospel, now that you are given the chance to repent and to turn to Christ, I urge you, fly to the Lord Jesus now, at once, for he says to those who humbly come to him in repentance, turning to him for salvation, he says this, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May God help us to trust Christ now and not delay, and to go out of this church as saved men and saved women, as saved boys and girls for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this brief study of your word. O Lord, we pray that you will help us, for we confess indeed we have been unfaithful stewards. We have been unfaithful servants in many ways, and oftentimes we fall short in our service that we render to thee, in our service that we render to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And oftentimes, O Lord, our heart is not in what we are doing and or what you have commanded us to do. O Lord, forgive us, we pray, for our unfaithfulness. We ask for thy cleansing blood to wash us anew and to sanctify us anew. And may you help us in this new week, that we will put in our heart, soul, mind and strength in whatever our hands find to do. Whether be it in our secular employment, whether be it responsibilities in the home, or whether responsibilities and duties in the church and in whatever ministries or role that you have appointed to us. Help us, O Lord, by thy grace, to be faithful, true and faithful to thee to the very end. So help us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.